Okay. I wanted to let you guys know how impressed and proud I am of each and every one of you. You come here and you got a lot of things you'd probably like to do, but you sat through 2 hours of old people shouting and you caused no troubles. And I'm just really, really proud of each and every one of you. But I wanted to know if you're actually listening. Can you take a little quiz? What was my first sin when I preached 2 days ago? What was my first sin? What was it?
So whenever you were a baby.
What?
Whenever you were a baby, your mom was working in the kitchen, and you were in your crib, and you started ripping off the wallpaper.
Yeah. You think I got a spanking for that? Yeah, probably Ma spanked me. My dad probably laughed. He probably thought that was funny, but my mom wasn't. She's the one that hung the long wallpaper for us. Yeah, what was my second sin that I confessed? What?
You stole money from the church.
Yeah, I was stealing from the church. I was stealing the offering that the kids gave from the church, wasn't I? Yeah. How come I quit? What happened that I quit? My sister was a tattletale, that's right. I got whooped for that one, I guarantee you. Do we need to go any further? You guys remember anything? What?
You had a lot of money.
I didn't get much money. It didn't last long. I wasn't secretive enough. What?
You bought a bike with your money.
I did what?
You bought a bike with your money.
I bought a bike. A what? I don't understand her. What she said?
She said you bought a bike.
I bought a bike? No, my dad gave it to me. Yeah. And he found out I was using it for my getaway when I was stealing money from the store. I'll have you to know that I was grounded. Yeah, there would be no more going to town without supervision. Yeah, that's what happened. And who do you think he sent to supervise? My tattletale sister. Yeah. You ever feel like maybe your guys are just in the way with what? A lot of you are kids of missionaries and preachers and people that are active in the church, every one of you. You feel like maybe you're just in the way? I got a feeling sometimes my kids felt that way. We're busy. Grown-ups are busy, got things to do, and we forget that maybe we've got the most important job is to be your parents. You ever feel that way? Well, I know your parents, and they love you without reservation, and they want the best for you. Amen. So much that they make sure you come to these meetings and learn about the Lord. But you know who loves you more than your parents do? They love you more than you love yourself, and that's the Lord Jesus. Let's read a story in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Listen to what it says here. And they brought young children to him, to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Now, who do you think it was that was bringing those children to Jesus? Huh?
The disciples.
No.
You. Their parents.
The parents. The parents wanted Jesus to bless their sweet little children, didn't he? Huh? And what did the disciples do?
They rebuked them.
Hey, you can't do that. Jesus is too important for you guys. Jesus doesn't want to be. He's talking to the adults. He doesn't need you. And Jesus, he responds. What does he say in 14? And Jesus saw it, and he was much displeased. Who was he displeased with? The parents? The children? He's displeased with the disciples. He's displeased that they didn't have the value that Jesus sees in the children. You know that you're the next generation? You're the ones that's going to carry on what your parents are giving their lives to do. You know what would bless your parents more than anything? That you grow up enjoying life and don't have a whole lot of regrets. I regret that I was a thief. And I regret that I did some other things that I'm not going to tell you about. I confess just the little things. But to grow up with a whole bunch of regrets. I mentioned to the young people the last time I was up here that at this moment, you're in the business of deciding the rest of your life. To me, that doesn't seem fair. You don't have the experience to know. You haven't lived long enough to make the decisions that have to be made right now. And you make the wrong decision and you can be marked and scarred for life. I know many people, especially the ones we've met in Mexico, that got saved when they were older. And they get saved and the Lord's real in their life and they want to serve the Lord. And they got so much baggage because of the rotten life they had. They're limited. They can't fit into what the God's plan is in their lives because they got things that they can't shake. We had a man get saved that had been drinking since he was very young. And it's so much that his mind was cloudy and he was unable to concentrate and we got to be good friends and I spent a lot of time with him and he was a guy that did fiberglass, and I went over and worked with him, and he helped me do some things and taught me how to do fiberglass. And several years later, he called me. I wasn't even in that city then. He said, "Mike, the lights came on." It took years for him to shake the effect of what he had decided to do when he was young. It just, the decisions you make now decide the problems you're going to have in the future. But Jesus rebuked them. He said to those disciples something very important. And Jesus displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Amen. You feel like you're not important? Such as are you, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that he's trying to set forth on this earth. The church. The example, the image of God himself. And you are it. You're tut. We're playing tag team here. There's an old guy over there that's on his way out, and I'm right behind him. And the next guy's right behind him. Who's going to take the next, who's going to take the flag and carry it on, huh? It's you guys. And you've got a glorious start. Amen. You're here in the middle of a bunch of people that their concentration in their mind is, what can we do for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And you just can't believe how satisfying it is. I told you Sunday night that I'm in front of this group of people, and they got room for 50, 60 people, and they're sitting just like all of these people listening to me preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the joy it gives me to see people being taught the Word of God, and you're getting it without having to go very far at all. It's right in your living room. It's right on the breakfast table. You're getting the Word of God fed to you every day. Yeah. And you got a chance for a life of deep joy and blessing for yourself. And nothing gives more joy than if you can give that to someone else. I'm really, really concerned for the future generation. I see so many that don't have the parents that you have, that I had. My mom and dad were the first ones to get saved in their family, and my dad's from a big family. He was one of 10. His dad was one of 17. His mother was a Jackson also, because in my little town, you married a Jackson. That's just what you had to do. Hundreds of Jacksons, and they were the first ones to accept the Lord, and they did it when I was 2 years old. I was raised in a glorious Christian home. I was raised under the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And did I sin? Oh, yeah, I told you about some of them. But I didn't have to get picked out of the swaller like some of the people that we deal with now, because God protected me, and I had a glorious salvation. Saved me from getting into it, not save me out of it. And you have this opportunity.
Yeah.
You have the opportunity to have a testimony, a glorious testimony. God saved me when I was a child. God fed me and filled me with his word. And I know Jesus Christ personally from the time I was small. And you can grow up and be a blessing to everyone around you. You'll find no other satisfaction better than that, than the blessing to other people with spiritual things. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his arms upon them, and he blessed them. The Lord is blessing you right now. Right now, because of who your parents are and what your parents do and believe and what you have an opportunity to put in your heart. Build a foundation on that. Build a foundation on something that has eternal value. I had a car. I found out right away that it's not a real big joy. I skipped Wednesday night meeting because I had my new car. I'm 16. And I washed it in the garage, and I didn't dry it. I just put the wax on it. I drove that car for 2 years, and it's still covered with wax. I could not get it off, and the joy of that car was gone. I was down there rubbing and scrubbing. Things don't satisfy. They let you down. The Lord Jesus Christ has given you an opportunity to be the light of the world. And I just wanted to come here tonight and encourage you. Take that advantage. Be the light that shines brightly. Be the one that they say, this is an example of what God wants for me. You can lead people. You'll have people be against you. When I was in high school, I was the joke of the place. I wouldn't use my car to go racing around and being an idiot. I wouldn't drink and I wouldn't smoke. And so my nickname all through high school was Perfect. Oh, you're too perfect to be, you can't go to parties. You are just too perfect. The Lord helped me say, I don't care. I don't need friends that are like that. I don't need friends that are encouraging me to do things I shouldn't. The Lord blessed me with a friend, 1 year younger. We were together a lot, and he never once encouraged me to do anything we shouldn't. It was always, let's get done in time to go to church. He was a tremendous, and now he's my brother-in-law. You be that person. You encourage to do good. You find somebody. I messed up. I didn't know that there was another Christian in our school. Our Val Victorian got up and preached the gospel message so strong at graduation that they banned gospel preaching. And I didn't even know it. He didn't shine bright enough, and neither did I. But I could have had a friend that we could have shared the blessings of Jesus Christ. You look for them. You don't need a friend that won't encourage you to do good. So you don't need them. They will encourage you to do what's wrong. They will applaud you. You don't need that kind of applause. You need Jesus to be satisfied with you. And Jesus is right now taking you in his arms with the blessings that you have. Don't refuse it. Don't say, no, I want to do it my way. Say, Lord, here am I. Do with me as you want. Prepare me as you will. And give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings that you've already had.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
After the meeting, I got a little treat for you, if you like. Okay? Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats or sit here, whatever you want to do.